Good evening. It's good to see you. I must admit I'm a lot less comfortable giving a testimony than I am preaching, but I will do my best. Well, I'd like to share with you about a trip that in many ways started several years ago. I had always had a desire, I guess, to take my family to Africa, to see my parents, to visit. All of my family is now in Africa, so if I want to see them, I have to fly. But that had been something that I had wanted to do for a long time, and unfortunately, you know, we did not have the money to go. So in 2015, I had pretty much decided, I had said, you know, Mom and Dad, I don't think this is going to happen. But we serve an amazing God. Only, I think, 2 weeks after I had finally just said, this is never going to happen, someone came and asked me, you know, would you like to go see your parents? And I said, sure, I'd love to, but I can't afford to do that. And that's kind of where we left it. And then a few weeks later, that same person called me and said that they felt on their heart that they wanted to, you know, give us, the money to do that. And you know, I don't know if they knew the backstory to that, but I'm very thankful that they obeyed God. And I chose to begin with that because, and you'll see as I conclude, I have a point to this whole story. It won't be obvious at the moment, but I promise you we'll get there. But you know, there was something in my heart, and God wanted to provide a solution to that, and He did. But not only was there a need, there was provision, but God also used someone to be that provision. And I want to share with you now what happened and the opportunity that we had. So we could begin in Ethiopia. Now, while I was beginning to plan that trip, Pastor Tucker was beginning to open the school in Ethiopia. So he said, since you're already going that way, could you make a little stop? And of course, I was very happy to do that. And so I was looking into tickets at that point, and I was able to go through Ethiopia for very little difference in price. So we began planning that, and we headed to Ethiopia. Now, Addis is, since Pastor Tucker isn't sure anyone knows where it is, and I probably wouldn't have known for sure either, Addis is right here in the center. And by the way, if you don't like it hot like I do, my recommendation is go to Africa in August because it's winter, but it's the end of winter. Great time to go. And also go to Addis because it's high and it's not hot, which I thought was beautiful. You know, a perfect balmy 68 and rain. That's how I love it. All right, so we were in Ethiopia, and here we are working with a man. Here's a picture of the two of us. If we go to the next slide, there's a picture of me, and his name is Zeminendel. He's a good brother, nice family. You know, he studied at other Bible colleges before, but he said of Zion's material that other places just give you knowledge, but Zion gives you an application and helps you to understand how to apply the Word of God. And so he's very excited to work with Zion. He has a very great interest in a network of pastors that he works with. And the pastors that we had there were comprised of many different denominations. But interestingly enough, even though some of them are what we would consider non-Pentecostal denominations, like Presbyterian or trying to think of some of the others they were, they are all Spirit-filled. And they all understand the Spirit. And honestly, the worship was the best worship I have ever had in Africa. It was not your typical choir-based singing. Those of you who have been in Africa know what that means. All right. No, it was a cappella, and it was a group of 20-plus men and one woman, and they really worshiped the Lord. It was really a beautiful presence of the Lord that we had. So if we want to go to the next slide, we were in a school And this was an elementary school, so we had a blackboard, which was nice, kind of a projector on that blackboard. And we had, that's not the whole class, but that's basically what the classroom setup was like. It went very well. The school was not in session. It was their break. So we had, we had peace and quiet. It went very well. We had 3 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. They do speak English, which was very nice. But I will tell you that the first class session, there's English, and then there's English. And yes, I remember you now, Carla. But our first session, he looked at me and he's like, let alone we were doing Genesis 1, which is complicated enough. But he's basically like, I'm not sure anyone's really understanding you. And I thought, oh yeah, slow down, David. I once we had a student from Mexico. The first Sunday they were here, they heard me teach Sunday school. And I guess I sent them to their room in tears because they said, if this is how it's going to be, I will never understand anything. So I try to remember that, because I do have a tendency to talk too fast. But other than that, it went very well. But if you do happen to go, remember, it's English, but it's African English. And you may think it's a foreign language at first, but it's not. So then we had about, if you want to go to the next slide, there's a class picture. It was wonderful to have my family with me, my wife helped greatly, and I had her read the scriptures, because just standing up there and talking for 15 hours, I get worn out, and they get tired of hearing my voice the whole time. So I had her read the scriptures, which was a great help to me. The kids also participated in a little bit of class, and it was a good testimony, too. I had one of the brothers come up after the thing and say how much he appreciated seeing how our family interacted and worked together. And so I think it was a good testimony. I was very proud of how the kids handled it. You know, I don't think most kids want to spend their summer vacation listening to their dad teach for 15 hours in a classroom. But they did very well. Now, Zion wants to continue the work in Ethiopia. Zeman has a real passion to teach pastors and that they would go out and teach others. Zeman himself told me that he intended to go out about 10 days after I finished the class and teach Genesis in some of the villages around. Now, those villages are, you know, remote, without water, without electric, and it's very difficult for an American to penetrate that without getting sick. You know, you can't drink the water. You know, it's very, very, very hard. But for someone like these men who were all pastors, and the lady as well, she's over here on the left. We had one lady and one man. I'm sorry, one lady and all the rest were men. So it's very difficult. And of course, we don't speak the language either. Even though these speak English, they're educated. The rest do not. But it's in many ways the Ephesian model where Paul taught in Ephesus and the word went out throughout Asia. And I think that's a good model here in Ethiopia. Now then, from there, and you can go to the next slide, we flew to Tanzania, which incidentally, Mbeya here is the exact parallel of Addis. Addis is 10 degrees above the equator. Mbeya is 10 degrees below the equator. It's also in the mountains, so the temperature is not bad. Now, this is where Ben and Audrey were. We spent about a week with them. We did a little bit more of what you would call vacation-y stuff. We spent time with them and relaxed. However, after 5 or 6 days, we drove down from Mbeya here to the upper end here of Lake Malawi. Now, this is the only part of Lake Malawi that touches Tanzania, and my parents were able to join us there. And so we spent 2 nights there together. And while we were there, if you can go to the next slide, we were able to have Stephen Water baptized by my father. And I was thinking, just as we were getting ready to do it, that at the same age he was, my father water baptized me in Africa too. So I thought, well, that's special. You can see, of course, me and Ben and my dad And it was really a neat experience. We really had a wonderful time as a family there, and we were able to relax there on the shores of Lake Malawi. And then from there, we went with my parents down to Malawi. It was an exciting trip. Travel in Africa is... You know, we as a family have traveled 7 or 8 hours a lot in a car, and that's nothing. But what takes you 7 or 8 hours in the U.S. is 20 hours in Africa, and it's not nearly as fun. And there are no such things as rest facilities. So we made the journey, which all the way, we were all the way up here at the top. Now, Mom and Dad are all the way, you go all the way down here, you go down here, you go down here, you go down right there. That's where you are. So we traveled the whole length of this skinny little country. And I realized that Malawi is more backwards than Botswana was in 1987. When I first went to Africa almost 30 years ago, Malawi is more backwards than that. And so Malawi is a very difficult field in the natural, and is getting worse, not better. But nevertheless, Mom and Dad, my parents, have been able to have an impact there. I just want to share a few things quickly, and then we're going to wrap this up. But while we were there, they were doing their distribution. Now, they have a list of 1,400 children that are either orphans or, at a minimum, fatherless. And of those 1,400, 700 had come and gotten measured for uniforms. Now, this happens before the distribution. You see the little white tags? That is the name of each child that has been measured. That's your uniform. Your name is on it. They're waiting for you to come and get it. And so without a uniform, you can't go to school there. So these are necessary in order that the children can have an education. Now, they either get, obviously, a dress or a shirt and other uniform if you're a boy. There were 3 distribution days. I believe it was a Friday, Monday, and a Tuesday. No? Was it Thursday, Friday, Monday? Okay. I couldn't remember. Thursday, Friday, Monday. So I want to give you a little picture, if we go to the next slide, of what that looks like. They would all be told, you know, come at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, I can't remember what time, but early in the morning, and they would all gather out there. And then next slide, you could see quite a few, but remember there was 3 days, so 1,400 kids, 3 days. And Anita would give she did the wordless gospel or the wordless book, a salvation message with an interpreter to the children as they were sitting there. And then after that, if you see in the lower right, there's Mom, and you can't see the clipboard, I'm sorry, the picture's too small, but she has a clipboard, and she's basically calling out names. And when your name is called, you go through the gate, you go to another room where there was boys and girls, and you get your uniform, and then you get, also next slide, you get a bar of soap, and Stephen assisted there. You won't see any pictures of Rebecca because she's on the camera, okay? But he participated. He helped to hand out soap. And then if we can go to the next slide, there's the final product. They have their uniform. You see they have a bar of soap in the one hand, and they have copybooks in the other hand. Those notebooks are essential because you do not have textbooks, so you have to have something to write things down in. And so that is what they have spent a lot of time doing, helping all of the children in need. Next slide. The other thing they've done is repair houses, and I was able to go and help Dad do some supplies. The fellow on the left, his name is Michael. He was a Bible school student. He's also a pastor of a church of over 100, but he's a builder and a very good builder. And Dad said, he's pretty much the only guy I use because he's the only one who hasn't cheated me. Sadly, he wasn't the only Christian and the only pastor that was working for Dad. But this guy has been very honest. He's a hard worker. He's also light enough to stand on the roof, because I'm telling you, when he's putting it together, it would fall through if I were up there. But he is a very good man. And then, of course, that's one of the houses they were restoring. So Dad spends a lot of time doing that. Mom spends a lot of time on the distribution. And then next slide, we go to the third thing that they've been involved in, and this is teaching. Now, I was able, on the last day we were there, to go with Dad to a graduation service. Now, this was the African version of the Fall Convention. What does that mean? Well, it means that as you drive up, there are 100 people in the field, all with their own little campfire and drying their clothes in the forest around the church. So it's a little different than the accommodation we have for you this week. The other key difference is the first 45 minutes of the service, and I am not exaggerating here, was introducing this bishop and that bishop, and of course I got my 5 minutes of fame, to which they didn't know much about me, so thankfully it was only 30 seconds. But it was literally 45 minutes introducing the 14 people up here. So I got my true African four-hour service. Yeah, I told Ben, because he had offered to do that in Tanzania, I said, there are some experiences you really don't have to have that many of. But I did get one in. But I did have the opportunity to speak, and there were probably 400 people here at this convention in a building. It actually was probably the biggest church I saw in Africa. It wasn't quite as big as this one, but it was close. But of course, there's no pews or anything. Everybody's on the floor. It was a good service, and it was good to see there were two graduates there. We handed them their diplomas. Of course, Dad, you know, did the official stuff and all of that. Although, being Africa, they still made me wear a gown, and don't ask me why. But there you are. Now, I want to just close with two things that God laid on my heart when I was in Africa. So let's go to the next slide. If we can. Children, children everywhere. Now, I've entitled it that, and I want to keep going. Go to the next one, Joel. Children, children everywhere, and keep going to the final one. I want you to consider these statistics for a moment. The median age of the three countries that I visited is under 18 years old. Think about that for a minute. Under 18. 64% of the population is under 25. I'll bet if I asked how many people are under 25 here, we wouldn't have more than 15. 80% are under the age of 40, and I'm only 41, but that makes me feel old. And I felt old in Africa. Because 80% of the population was younger than me. Now, in many ways, that's sobering because I think Africa has a population bomb, and I'm not sure what's going to happen there because they can't even feed the people they have. But in some ways, it's also an opportunity because we don't really start getting into a 12-year-old is not committing gross sin, right? Usually. 12-year-olds can be disobedient, but they haven't had times to really mess their life up. Do you understand what I mean? But the older they get without the gospel, the greater the opportunity of that. But we have, if I could say, this window and this opportunity to apprehend many before they reach that point. And because they're very young, they're also very ignorant. And I believe that ignorant, meaning they don't have much experience. They don't have much training. They don't have much of the gospel. And we have a real opportunity to have an impact. And I believe God wants us to really think about how we can reach this massive generation of people that is upcoming. I mean, Ethiopia has 101 million people. If you look at that, 80 million are under 40. I'm just doing that one because the math is easy. But it would be very similar for all of them. And I believe God wants us to think about the methods that we can use to reach those that are so young. And then the second thing I want to leave us with tonight is this. Africa's probably greatest need is to be God-reliant rather than West-reliant. But we have to teach them how to do that, but we also have to know how to do that ourselves. And I was struck that this journey began with God providing for my family. And you know, if he can do it for me, then he can do it for them. That's right. And he can do it for you. there are two parts. There is the givee, or the receiver, and the giver. But the question is, what does God want you to be? Does he want you to be someone who has faith to give? Or does he want you to be someone who has faith to receive? Or does he want you to be both? Depending on what season you are in life. But you know, I believe God can provide for the work that is in front of us. And we need to trust him that he will do that. But also, if he wants us to be someone who provides, that he will give us wisdom to do that as well. Amen? Well, I hope this has been a blessing to you.